So I'm starting a new series. I'm kind of excited about this, and it's called Discipline Your Mouth. You know, that goes for all of us. We need to discipline our mouth. Turn to Matthew 12:33. Now, I'm going to set this up a little bit. I want you to understand these are the Pharisees that they're upset with Jesus because they healed a guy that was blind and mute. And these Pharisees are saying, you are of the devil. And Jesus is saying, how can a house be divided against itself? And he's really getting in the Pharisees' face and he's being rather pointed about it. And he's calling them out. They were always scheming about how they could get Jesus to plot against them because he was doing miracles, signs, and wonders that the Pharisees did not like because multitudes were following after Jesus. I want us to understand that when Jesus is speaking these words, they're not to be taken lightly, but it's truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So many times the Pharisees were all tied up in ritual and traditionalism to God, but they didn't recognize Jesus as the Son of God, even with all the miracles that took place. So as we look at Matthew 12:33, Jesus said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruits. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you are justified, and by your words you are condemned. So if we were to look at this, Jesus said, by your words you are justified, meaning that you are released from the guilt of sin. Because of your words, by your words you are released from the guilt of sin. And where it says, and by your words, you will be condemned. You will be sentenced. So it's amazing when he was speaking to these Pharisees, it says, by your words, you are justified. You are released from the guilt of sin. But then he says, by your words, you are condemned, meaning that you are sentenced. So we can see that with the belief of what the Pharisees were saying about Jesus, they were saying, I don't believe that you are the Son of God. And they're saying, you know, the workings of the Holy Spirit, we do not believe. See, they were not believing in the power of the Holy Spirit by the miracles, signs, and wonders. And he says, this is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, the unpardonable sin. So what you're saying is either going to release you of the guilt of sin or it will sentence you. But a tree is known by its fruits. It's amazing to think of what Jesus was saying. And let's look at Matthew 7:15-20. We're living in the last days and we better recognize the fruit that is being produced. Whether it's good or bad, we better understand the fruits that are coming forth. As believers and in the Word of God, we're to be anchored in the Word of God, that we're not swayed by every wind and doctrine, but we hold true to the Word of God. Amen. So as we look at Matthew 7:15, it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. They have an agenda. There's something about the selfishness or the cunning things that are trying to take place here. And he says, you will know them by their fruits. But he's saying, beware of the prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves that are appearing to be godly, but inwardly they're selfish and destructive. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, get this, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. What he's saying, they appear to be sheep, but they are wolves. They're out for themselves. They're destructive. He's saying, know them by their fruits. What are they teaching? What is their character? What is the very thing that they portray? What is their influence that they're trying to project? So as we look at these last days that we live in, we're to know the tree by its fruits. So we need to understand their lifestyle, their character, their teaching, and their influence based off of this. It has to be based off of this. And what's happening in this day and age, as we look at the last days, there are false prophets that are out there that are wanting sheep with tickling ears because they want to be recognized, these false prophets. They want to be seen as that of leadership and influence, yet their lifestyle and character are not good. But yet sheep will flock to the very thing that's contrary to the Word of God. And we need to be anchored in the Word of God. God's word is his final authority, not man. Amen. So let's look at Luke 6. Again, there's some synonymous things here with Matthew, Luke, and John, but let's look at Luke 6, 43. As we're challenged more in these last days, we had better stay anchored in the Word of God. Because it says in the last days that there's going to be more people that are false prophets or false doctrines that will try to steer people away from the Word of God. So Luke 6:43 says this, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For man does not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from the bramble bush. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And as an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So when we look at what is happening, I want us to understand that there are people in this world that are faithful at condemning the faults of everybody else, but they are not faithful of recognizing their own shortcomings. It seems like people are very good about pointing out everybody else's shortcomings, but they're ignoring their very own. Amen? So then again, it comes back to that, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, but generally it's that of the good treasure you bring forth good things. And we need to recognize those things in this day and age, those that bring forth good things and those that bring forth evil things. How are they recognized? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. All right, let's look at John 15. We as believers can hear these scriptures. We can say them, but do we actually connect to what Jesus is actually saying? You and I have a responsibility to live to honor Jesus Christ. So when we look at John 15, verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you. There's something which you and I are responsible to do. Abide in me means that we have to purposefully connect with him. It says, when I connect with him, then he'll connect with us. All right? As the branch cannot bear fruit of its own unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. So if we're abiding in him, I would have to say that fruit's probably good fruit. Right? I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, listen, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So then we have to look at how are we connected? How are we abiding in him? If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You'll ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Jesus was very specific and using specific words about people's hearts and minds. And I have to ask this question, are we paying attention to the words that Jesus is saying in this day and age? What about our life? What are we saying? What are we doing? Are we abiding in him? Is he abiding in us? Because when we abide in him and he in us, what happens? We bear much fruit. So let's go back to Matthew 12:33. Again, Jesus is speaking these words. So if Jesus is speaking the words, do we pay attention to them or do we ignore them? We're to pay attention to them. It's wise if we pay attention to the words of Jesus. So Jesus said in Matthew 12:33, for a tree is known by its fruit. Are we fruit bearers? But I also want us to see this. It says again, verse 33, for a tree is known by its fruits. Verse 34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Then again, there's another parallel with Matthew 7:20. It says, therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. And again, in Luke 6:44, it says, every tree is known by its own fruits. And then verse 45, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When we look at what Jesus is saying, I'd have to ask, what is coming out of our mouth? What are the things that we're saying? Are they justified or are they condemned? By your words, are you justified or by your words, are you condemned? So Jesus also said, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. How many of us like to be pruned? As believers, we're going to be pruned every time we get in the presence of God. See, most people that say, you know, I don't want anything to do with God, does not want to be pruned. They like their lifestyle. They're going to do their own thing. But as soon as you get saved and get born again, God's going to start working in your life. He'll start shaping us and molding us. And there's things that we say, you know, I don't want you to touch that area. But yet God says, I got to touch that area. I got to prune that thing from your life because I want to shape you. I want to mold you. Because, see, Jesus is saying, if you're not abiding in me, I'm not going to abide in you. Right? Because when he's saying, when you abide in me and I in you, that's when you're going to bear more fruit. And we should be fruit producers because we're in the Lord. So in other words, our words create good or create bad, but also our words create who we are and what our outcome or destiny will be. Wait. By your words, you are justified, and by your words, you're condemned. And see, many times we don't want to hear that part. So it's like our words create who we are and what our outcome and destiny will be. When you say, I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and you abide in him, and that he's abiding in you, that is a good thing because your outcome and your destiny is going to be good. But if I say, I don't want anything to do with God, I don't want to abide in God, then what happens is I'm cut off and thrown away and burned up. Pastor, I don't like you when you talk that way. I'm just the messenger. The thing is, we need to hold true of what the Bible says. And as a person, we don't, well, I like that scripture. I don't like the scripture. We'll tear this out because I like that. It makes me feel good. But when you talk about being cut off and thrown in the fire, I don't like that. But yet Jesus said in Matthew 12:36, but I say to you, for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you are justified, and by your words you are condemned. See, many times we don't like to hear messages like this, but God's saying, are you with me or against me? Are you with me just when we're in church and against me the other times? It says, I need you with me all the time because I'm wanting you to abide with me so I can abide in you, not just on Sunday, not when you pray over your food. I want you to abide in me all the time. So in John 15:6-5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And yet we wonder why God isn't in our life, because we're not abiding him. Jesus said, for without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So there's consequences for the good and the bad. There's the consequences for the good treasure in our heart, but there's also the consequence of an evil treasure of the heart. And as a Christian, it is all that it has to do. When you and I read the Word of God, it is that we know the knowledge of God and the will of God, and that we act upon the knowledge and the will. See, I can read and get knowledge of the Bible. I can read and get knowledge and know what the will of God is, but if I do not act upon the knowledge and the will, I am not abiding. I just have information. Once we get the knowledge and the will, and he puts it into our hearts and our minds, he's saying, I want to shape you, and I want to mold you, and you may feel pretty uncomfortable, but if you're a follower or a Christian, that means that you're going to lay aside those things, and you take up the cross, and you follow after me. You not only know what the knowledge is, but now you know the will, and we're to fulfill the will of God. In Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Did you know there are people going to hell every day because of the lack of knowledge? Sad to say, it's true. And yet, the Bible, the Word of God, has been professed around the world, and yet people say, I don't want anything to do with God. They just look at God, well, he's a mean God, he's an unjust God. And yet, if they would read their Bibles, they would truly see the heart of God through his Son. Because it says in the Word of God, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And yet, they'll make God into a mean, wrathful God, and that is not true. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. Let's look at Romans 12:1-2. So what are some things that Jesus did? What are some of the things that Jesus did with his life? One, he prayed. He went to church consistently. And the other thing is that the Word of God was in him because he was God. But the thing is, he wanted to honor the Father in everything that he did. He's an example unto us. So when we look at Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's the least you can do. What he's done, that's the least you can do. Then he takes it further. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, remember when I was talking out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? If I were to hang around you for a couple hours, I would know probably where your heart's at. Why is that? Because of what comes out of your mouth. You would know the same thing with me. If I spent a day with you, 3 days, a week, a month, it would be pretty obvious that there's things that would be in you that you would bring out, just like I would be. You wouldn't recognize the things that are in my heart because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so when we think of Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, you know what, you're a new believer now. You know, you need to change your lifestyle. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And then to think of him saying, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To think that God's saying, look, I want you to stay the same as you always were. No, he's saying, no, I want you to be renewed by the Word of God. Because if you don't renew your mind to the Word of God, the world will continue to speak into your heart and your mind. So then it becomes a different lifestyle. But I like what is being said here in the very end of that scripture. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice it's not once, it's a continue effect that you and I are to always depositing this into our hearts and our minds. Then it goes, that you may prove. You've got to prove it. What is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God? Now, I want you to understand this. You and I produce what we are attached to. So if you want to know more about a computer, you buy a computer and you want to know more about the computer, you're going to get the instruction book and you're going to read it and you're going to read it and you're going to read it so you can understand it, so you can become attached to it. If you want and desire a car, and there's a specific car that you want, and you want to know what it can do, and you start reading on it, you become attached to it. If you want to learn how to cook and you want to get better at it and you want to really grow and understand how to cook, you're going to read books and you become attached to it. You know where I'm going. So it says in Hosea 4:6, my people will perish because of a lack of knowledge. And it's amazing to me how people can put their hearts into things like computers and cars and cooking and whatever it may be to get attached through it, because it becomes attached to our thought process, but yet it really doesn't give any life. It's only temporal, but yet when we look at the Word of God, people will barely open their Bibles to find life. They barely open the Bibles to get the knowledge of the will of God, and they wonder why their life is the way that it is, yet they can pour themselves into things that are so temporal that is only satisfying for a moment, and yet the Word of God is saying, you know what, I want to speak into your life. I want fruit to grow in your life, eternal fruit that's going to affect you, but yet the world is constantly saying to our hearts that the world is more important. As you and I are conformed to something, we're attaching ourselves to it. You and I can be conformed to anything. Seriously, we can be conformed to anything in this life, and what happens is that anything will affect your life because you've connected yourself to it. Whether it's you or me, we can connect ourselves to it. Back to John 15:5. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So if you want a greater walk in the Lord, you have to attach yourself to the Lord. Just like the scripture, you have to abide in him. In order to bear more fruit or to live this Christian life successfully, we have to be connected or attached to him. Because either we're going to get connected or attached to the things of this world. Hey, come drinking with us. We'll have fun. If you want to get connected or attached to that, there's a voice out there that wants to connect you to something of this world. But there's a God that says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. It says, abide in me and I'll abide in you. There's this thing in which you and I need to stay connected or attached to that vine. Amen? To live this Christian life. Do not be conformed to this world or be attached to this world. Be transformed by renewing of your mind that you may prove or be attached to what is good. We need to be attached to what is good, what is acceptable, of the will of God, the perfect will of God. Amen. So our mouth, when we speak generally, says what's abiding inside us. You know, it talks about in Psalm, taste and see that the Lord is good. Saying, connect with me, abide in me. You'll see how wonderful I really am. God is wanting us to see the goodness of God. Amen? So our mouth needs to be disciplined by renewing our mind according to the Word of God. So that's my message. Discipline your mouth. It seems today that people feel they can say whatever they want, but there's a consequence for what they say. More people don't think before they speak. They just say what's on their mind. As a believer, it's our responsibility to submit our words before the Lord before we release them. As a believer, it is our responsibility to submit our words before the Lord before we release them. Why is that? Well, I want you to think about this. We would have better and stronger marriages if we had submitted our words to the Lord. We would have had less financial problems if we'd submitted our words to the Lord instead of charge it. We would have less alcohol problems and drug addiction if we'd said no. We'd have less sexual immorality if we'd said no. When we say that we are Christians, we're saying that we're followers of Christ and that we're being led by the Holy Spirit. So then when we see what the words of Jesus said, if I say to you, for every idle word men say, they will give an account for it in the day of judgment. For by the words you are justified, by your words you are condemned. So I want us to think about this. What you say, what I say, what you do and what I do makes a difference in our life. Because it's by our words that we're justified and by our words that we're condemned. So the difference is in our life and the life of others is how we honor Jesus Christ. See, do we honor Jesus Christ just in the house because this is a church? Or do we honor Jesus Christ in our home? Do we honor Jesus Christ in the workplace? Do we honor Jesus Christ in how we treat each other? The question is, by our words, we're justified, and by our words, we're condemned. Why is it so important to remember what the Bible says? Because there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Amen.